Glory to Jesus Christ! Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish presents Light of the East, a program revealing how the Eastern Catholic Churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Churches and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, and spirituality. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, and this is a story of the Eastern Churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look toward the Light of the East.
Light of the East is also underwritten by a grant from the charitable Koch Foundation, whose vision is to strengthen and propagate the Catholic faith by providing grant support for a wide variety of evangelization efforts. Learn more at KochFoundation.org. Koch spelled K-O-C-H. And Light of the East is also supported by Eastern Christian Publications, where you can find the prayers of the Catholic Byzantine Daily Office at ecpubs.com and easternchristianmedia.com, a broadband network. For you to learn more about the Eastern Catholic Churches, that's easternchristianpublications.com.
Welcome to Light of the East. I'm Father Thomas Loya, your host. And I greet you, of course, with our greeting of this Paschal season, Christ is Risen. Usually it's glory to Jesus Christ, but now it is Christ is Risen, and you respond back to me, indeed He is Risen. Here in the Eastern Catholic Churches, we have actually several greetings throughout the year, but this one is our happiest one. Christ is risen. And we say it with exuberance, Christ is risen. And you say back, indeed He is risen. And we do that for the full time of the Paschal season, all the way to Ascension Thursday. And what we're doing is we're taking on the character of the women at the tomb, the first to know of the resurrection of Christ. And as they went running breathlessly to tell the other apostles, they told the other apostles that they had seen the risen Lord. They would say, He is risen. He is risen. We've seen Him. Indeed, He is risen. He really is. And that is our greeting as well. Remember, in the liturgical life of the church, we become the people in the scripture, the people in the event. It's not pretend. It is there. The scripture is there because it is us. It is us looking into a mirror. We are seeing ourselves in the people and the events of the scripture. And that means everyone in those events, the good ones, the bad ones, even Jesus Christ Himself, His Blessed Mother, Joseph, all of them, we are them. And so we actually use their very words. We put their very words on our lips to make the scripture and those events in the scripture, those lessons in the scripture, absolutely real to us. Yes, it's a joyous time of year, most joyous time. However, and I don't mean to be depressing or to putting a damper on it, at the same time, and let's face it, we still have tragedies in our lives. We still have world events such as wars and so on. And we often ask the question, whether it's a joyful time or not, we ask the question, why? Why does God allow such evil and bad things to happen? If He's a loving God, a caring God, especially why does He allow it to happen to good people? Why does He allow it to happen to me? What did I do wrong? Is God punishing me? Why do I deserve this? This is a perplexing question we all ask ourselves, let's be honest. And there is an answer to that. In this season of the liturgical calendar, this season of the church, the Paschal season, is the one that provides us with the best answer of all. And this particular Sunday, that answer is going to come from a very unlikely person, a person who we wouldn't think would be really the person that would be capable of much good. Not because he was a bad person. He was part of Christ's entourage. He was one of the 12 apostles. But he's always showing up late, and he's always doubting something. That, of course, is St. Thomas, the doubting Thomas. And this Sunday is a Sunday of St. Thomas in the Byzantine liturgical calendar. But what is interesting about that, at least I find interesting as someone committed to unity between East and West, is that one of the basic themes underlying this event of Christ appearing in the upper room and Thomas was finally there. Again, he wasn't there at the first time he appeared to the apostles, that Jesus appeared to them. He was late again, but he's here this time. The interesting thing there corresponds with what has become in the Western long of the church, the Sunday of Divine Mercy, which of course comes from the great revelation apparition of St. Faustina and instituted by St. John Paul II into the Western church's liturgical calendar. Both of these themes, well, they are united by, in their own way, mercy, Christ's mercy. They even have a very similar image to them. The Byzantine icon of Christ appearing to Thomas in the upper room has a very similar composition. The pose by Christ, the way Christ is presented, is very similar to the image that now is known as the Divine Mercy icon or image, which I always found very fascinating. I think it's God trying to tell us something in this day and age, because God knows that we are asking this question more and more. In one sense, we should be. If we're in any way tuned to world events, even events in our lives, why is God allowing such terrible things, terrible, terrible things? Even though we're supposed to be joyful during the resurrection, as I said, let's face it, we still do experience tragedies, even amidst of the joy. But why? A perplexing question. We see it answered in St. Thomas. We're going to see it answered in a lot of places, but we're seeing it answered in St. Thomas. Let me read a couple of liturgical prayers here from our Byzantine prayers. It says this, by his unusual impudence, his unusual impudence, Thomas the twin made us profit from his doubts of faith. By his unbelief, he dispelled the ignorance and darkness for the world. For himself, he wove a crown of immortality, saying to Christ, you are the Lord. To you belong praise and great glory. Blessed are you, O Lord God, and the God of our fathers. And it also says this, who stopped the hand of the disciple from being melted when he approached the fiery side of the Savior? Who gave him such boldness to be able to touch the blazing door? Surely it was the one who was touched. For if he had not given this power to a hand made of clay, how could it have touched the wounds which shook both heaven and earth? And Thomas received the grace to touch Christ and shout out to him, you are my Lord and my God. Imagine the sum total of the Bible, the sum total of all that God did from his incarnation in the second person Trinity, Jesus Christ, from Christ's teaching, his suffering, his death on the cross, now his resurrection, and before that, his going down into Hades and breaking the bonds of the devil and releasing the captives there and raising them up, and also so that we could be raised up in the final judgment, the final resurrection, and the Lord's second coming. All of that was for one reason, so that you and I and the whole world, this was Christ's desire, the whole world, everyone would say of Christ, you are my Lord and my God. And when the entire world can say that, at all times, individually and as nations, you will have peace on earth. You will have a most beautiful existence. But Thomas, as I said, was the unlikely person to pronounce something. Jesus Christ, talk about mercy, this Sunday of Divine Mercy in the West, but also similar in the East. Talk about mercy. This liturgical text we just read, I emphasize the word, unusual impudence. Shouldn't he have been chastised? Cast out maybe from the apostles, the 12, the privileged 12. But Jesus takes the guy who doubted, who wanted proof, you know, like many of us today. He let him. He honored him. He gave him the privilege that no one else on earth was given, that he would be the one to say and to sum up Christ's whole effort on earth, God's whole plan, the Bible, the church, everything. You are my Lord and my God. You talk about God's mercy. And the answer to the question, why does God allow such bad, even allow Thomas to doubt, allowed him to be late, maybe he set it up. You know, I always say that Jesus is a great setup artist. He sets things up, details and so on, so that we will come to hopefully the right conclusion of faith in him. He set things up just as he did a couple weeks ago. Remember the raising of Lazarus? That marks the first day of the Great Week, the Holy Week, in the Byzantine calendar. It's the end of Lent and beginning of the Great and Holy Week, Week of the Bridegroom. And that gospel is set before us purposely in the Byzantine Church because once again, Christ is setting things up. He himself pulled the St. Thomas. He was purposely late for Lazarus's death. Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, pleaded to Christ beforehand, "Please come. Our brother is very sick. You can cure him." And they believed in him. And Jesus lollygagged. He purposely stayed behind. He allowed Lazarus to die and to be dead for 4 days and buried as well. Why? He seemed like he was being mean. In fact, Martha and Mary asked him, "Why didn't you come? Why did you let him die? He was your bosom buddy, your best friend." And Jesus told her, "Because something greater is going to happen, because I allowed the bad to happen." Not that God wants the bad. We have to make that distinction. God does not will or want bad. He simply allows it and makes something greater from it. That's proof that he is God, just as Jesus would do to Lazarus. He would raise Lazarus from the dead, but it's in the details. No one raised anyone from the dead who was dead 4 days and buried in a tomb. The prophets Elijah and Elisha, great, great prophets, they both raised someone from the dead, but never someone dead 4 days and already buried. You see, it was a set-up job by Christ, and so it was with Thomas. We're going to talk more about this unlikely hero today when we return. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
Every day, Father Loya posts a brief 2-minute Facebook video on the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish homepage. You'll be amazed at what you can learn just by watching. Light of the East mission is Christianity's reunion and to tell the story of the Eastern Lung of the Catholic Church. We need your support. In order to keep Light of the East on the air, you can make a donation now by going to ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com. And then donate securely using any major credit card. With your help, we can keep Light of the East's illumination bright every weekday morning, including Saturdays. On Facebook, Father Loya talks about everyday issues through the perspective of Byzantine Catholicism. For example,
we've been talking for the last several days about how divided we are as a nation, marriages, nations within America and so on. Such a divided country. And we said because one of the reasons is we've forgotten how to communicate and communicate as persons.
Then, on Wednesdays, Father Tom's alter ego, Southside Joe, gives his everyman Southside Chicago Byzantine Catholic perspective on what may be concerning you.
Hey, it's Wednesday. You know what that means? I get to get my 2 cents in, whether you like it or not. You know, the priest's been talking about communication, especially about getting the message. Make sure you get the message from the person. Check in with them. Make sure you got it right.
Visit the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish Facebook homepage every morning for just another way to think about things.
You know, I love being a Byzantine Catholic.
I'm Bishop Robert Pipta of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma, and you are listening to our very own Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
You are listening to the Choirs of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church under the direction of Timothy Woods in Homer Glen, Illinois. This is the music you hear on Light of the East and is sung during the sacred liturgy at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish. Order online at ByzantineCatholic.com. All we ask is a donation of $20 or more, which includes shipping and handling, to Annunciation Parish for each Theosis CD. Send a check made out to Annunciation Parish at 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. And may God grant you.
Christ is risen. Indeed, he is risen. Welcome back to Light of the East. I'm Father Thomas Lawyer, your host on this radiant season of the radiant resurrection, but on this Sunday of mercy. And I say that with a double meaning. It is the Sunday of divine mercy in the West, but it is a Sunday of mercy in the East in terms of the theme, where we present the doubting Thomas, who by God's mercy alone, by Christ's mercy, by Christ being a setup artist, as I always say he is, he sets up this amazing opportunity for a person who didn't deserve it, an unlikely hero, Thomas, late and doubting, and wanted proof. It was almost, as we say in liturgical texts I read before, an impudence, an unusual impudence. In other words, the other apostles are probably thinking, who does he think he is? We're sitting here. We believe in him. We believe that this is Jesus in our midst. And you want proof to the point where you want to actually touch his body? Not only his body, but his wounds? Who do you think you are? Can you imagine the incredulity, the indignation on the part of the apostles? But Jesus set it up that way so that he could allow the witness of something bad being turned into something good, something bad being allowed. In other words, Thomas's impudence, Thomas's doubt, to allow that so that Thomas could preach the most important words of all, which are supposed to be, of course, our words. Now, it's interesting, again, always look for the details when you read or hear the scripture, and sometimes they come even in the smallest words. When Jesus appeared to the apostles, very important detail. It said, he appeared although the doors were locked. Now, that's very significant because he comes through the door, just straight through it, almost like we would think of a ghost or a spirit, almost like a science fiction movie or something. He comes right through the door, a locked door. It doesn't open. It comes through it. Didn't destroy it. Just passed through it, although it was locked. And yet, when Thomas sees him, he sees the actual physical body. Now, how could that be? How can a physical body, yours and mine, pass through a door like a spirit without smashing the door or the body being smashed? We can't imagine that. Well, Christ's body was still there to the point where he even had the wounds. But it was a spiritualized body, and this is significant. Because Jesus was showing to the apostles, as he's showing to us, that this is how we're going to end up. This was the original and ultimate final destiny of the human person. That we would be these beings that were physical and spiritual at the same time, to the point where maybe we could call ourselves spiritualized bodies. This is how Adam and Eve were, probably more like this. But this is how we will be at the general resurrection, the final judgment, when Christ comes again, the second coming, when our bodies will rise up again, be reunited with our souls, gloriously transfigured, and be in heaven forever as these marvelous, marvelous, glorified beings. That's, of course, if we make it to heaven. So Jesus is modeling this. But it's interesting that what convinced Thomas was not the fact that Christ comes through a door. I mean, that would have convinced me and convinced the other apostles too, but that he had the wounds. So it was Christ's wounds, not his glorified, spiritualized person, but those wounds that became the instruments of faith for Thomas. So Christ even used his own wounds as an instrument for good. Now, those wounds would be basically a scar, which means if we get to heaven and we see God face to face, we see Jesus Christ, I imagine we'll see those wounds still on him, because those wounds show that he was fully human, that he could hurt and bleed and be cut like that and be scarred. Yet those wounds were not just wounds, just as his death on the cross was not just death, as horrible as it was the way of new life, the way of salvation. Same thing with the wounds. So this is another piece of this mercy that we see this Sunday in the church, East and West. For us, we're seeing it through this incident of St. Thomas touching the wounds of Christ, the wounds themselves, Thomas being allowed to touch them despite his lack of faith. These are all signs that God takes what seems to be unfair, unjust, bad, evil even, allows it to happen. Remember, not wanting it, not willing it, but allowing it to happen only so that he could do something greater instead. We see this all the time in Jesus Christ. We see this all the time in the way that God works. And we have to see that especially now in this day and age. Sometimes it is very hard to see that. Very hard. We have to search very deeply. And sometimes we may not see how God is redeeming what is bad, the bad that he allowed, how he is redeeming. We may not see it right away. It may not even come in our lifetime, but it will come. Look how long humanity had to wait for its emancipation, its redemption, by Christ dying on the cross, descending into Hades, breaking the power of death, and rising up. Look how long that had to happen. Humanity was around a long time, laboring under the power of sin, the tyranny of the devil. Even the righteous people could not go to heaven. Yeah, that's right. It's hard to imagine. In fact, in the icon that we use for Pascha, Easter Sunday, in the Eastern churches, it's actually called the Harrowing of Hell. It's the resurrection icon, but it's not really depicting the resurrection because no one actually saw it. They saw it afterwards, but they did not see the resurrection itself. I don't know if anybody could have seen it and lived. It was so powerful. But it shows Christ descending into hell, breaking the bonds of Satan, literally trampling on the gates of Hades, his kingdom in the great dark abyss, where everybody was held under his spell, even the righteous people. They could not go to heaven. I mean, they weren't suffering like a soul who's damned in hell, but they were suffering in the fact that they were in a waiting period. And in that icon, the resurrection, we see Christ trampling the gates of hell. We see him trampling on top of the devil. We see locks and hinges breaking open. I mean, it's a very, in a sense, violent scene. In fact, Christ's garments are like flurrying in the breeze, like there's this tremendous wind or motion going on. And then we see behind him, we see John the Baptist talking to people like Adam, King David, Solomon. In other words, righteous people from all the way from the beginning of Adam and Eve, talking to them, telling them, hey, look, Christ is coming to save us. Look, he's here. Look what he's doing. We're free now. You're going to go to heaven. And Jesus is shown with both his hands. In one hand, he's grabbing Adam. With the other hand, he's grabbing Eve. And he's pulling them up out of what looks to be sarcophagi. In other words, like tombs. And they're being stretched out of those tombs by Christ. He's grabbing them by the hands. He's basically saying to them, we're getting out of here. And not only is he taking Adam and Eve and all the righteous people, but remember, Adam and Eve symbolize all humanity. That means he's taking us up with him. It'll have to be in time. We'll have to wait for that. But with Christ and with God and with the church, there is no past, present, future. It's all one time, one moment called Kairos time. It's like time stands still. Time spans all time. So the resurrection of Adam and Eve from the bowels of Hades, as the liturgical texts say, is our resurrection too. It is not just something in the past. It is something current and future all at the same time. So this icon is called the Harrowing of Hell. It's the icon we use for the resurrection. And we celebrate this event liturgically in a very in-depth way all day long from morning until night on Holy and Great Saturday in the Byzantine Church. Yes, we have an Easter vigil. There are baptisms and so on. There is the baptismal liturgy in the evening. But the theme is very much Christ defeating Satan. We even hear Satan crying out in pain and anguish that he was defeated by Christ. He thought he had people in his lair. In fact, the liturgical texts say that when he saw Christ coming to him down in his lair, in his abyss, he thought that was yet another human being. But then, no, it wasn't. It was the Savior. It was the one that would defeat Satan and break his bonds, his tyranny, his power over us. Christ would do that once and forever. And so in that whole day of Holy and Great Saturday in the Eastern churches, it's a magnificent observance of the breaking of the power of death. We have to remember that's a very important aspect of our salvation. Jesus did not save us just by dying on the cross. Dying on the cross was part of the process, an important part. He died so he could go down into the abyss, do battle, and break the hold that Satan had on humanity. So Christ allows bad. God allows bad so that he can bring good from it. And if there's any doubt about that, don't doubt like Thomas did. Thomas eventually believed, and so must we, that God will bring redemption out of even the worst thing. Thanks for listening. Christ is risen. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
To hear Light of the East again, visit ByzantineCatholic.com and click on the Resources tab and on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening to Light of the East. We encourage you to tell a friend about Light of the East and to visit ByzantineCatholic.com. Light of the East is produced by ADC Media.
You know what Catholic radio is? It's training for the troops. It's a interaural of the ear boot camp. The folks who listen, who grow in their faith, grow in charity, grow in all the virtues, they then go out and exert an influence far beyond just themselves. Catholic radio has an exponential effect for bringing people deeper into the faith.
Dr. Ray Guarendi thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To learn more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. In order to continue Light of the East with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, spelled Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Or donate online on the homepage of ByzantineCatholic.com. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God grant you many happy years.